The Orange FM.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Impracel up. Mega thrusters are go.
Welcome back, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. We're now going to part two of our interview with Bob Koppler, the Vice President of World Events Productions. Let's get right back to it. Thank you for listening.
And now, back to Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Right, so I'd like to actually start with Mark Oliver's question for you.
Sure, anything for Mark.
All right, with the addition of DreamWorks Animation, does that change the development of the live-action movie that is currently under Relativity Media? And then he also, of course, wanted to know if you were going to be at the 30th anniversary panel at St. Louis Comic-Con. I think you already said you weren't going to be there.
No, and I'm really bummed about it. I'm truly, truly disappointed. I have something far less exciting and more boring that I need to be out of town for that weekend. I'm most bummed about missing Michael's debut as the Voltron panel moderator, but I'm hoping to get it on video and experience it soon thereafter. Mark's question about DreamWorks is a really, really good one. The answer is yes, it likely will have an impact. I just want to say about DreamWorks, they're phenomenal people to work with. And just to give some background on DreamWorks and how we came to be working with them, it was through Classic Media, obviously. Classic Media is this company that they own/manage a number of classic media properties, like, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost and Rocky and Bullwinkle and Peabody and Sherman, Lone Ranger. The list goes on and on and on. And they came aboard to help us manage Voltron as a nostalgic property. Well, after we had partnered with Classic Media in 2012, it was announced that DreamWorks would be acquiring Classic Media. You know, at the time, we weren't quite sure what that meant for Voltron. What we were really excited to hear, and I'm going to tell you a story that's been told to me by, I wasn't there firsthand, the same story has been told to me by about 20 different people within the DreamWorks organization. So I feel like it's pretty accurate, but when DreamWorks acquired Classic Media, they gathered, you know, a good portion of the DreamWorks staff into a room and announced to everybody what this acquisition meant, and sort of went through all of the properties that that now sort of fell under their purview, and they just started listing them, and everyone just, you know, kind of applauding after each property that DreamWorks would now sort of oversee. So, you know, they started going through them, and it was like Casper the Friendly Ghost, all right, and Rocky and Bullwinkle, Mr. Magoo, Lassie, Where's Waldo, you know, pretty significant brands that everybody's heard of and a lot of people grew up with. And then they got to Voltron, and the entire room erupted in applause.
Woo! Yay!
Yeah, and I was like, I heard this story, and I was just like, oh, that is so awesome. And we couldn't have been more fortunate to have that that acquisition occur that did, because DreamWorks it is a very creatively driven company. It's literally ruled by, you know, a bunch of brilliant creative minds, and they just happen to love Voltron. And we've visited their campus in Glendale a few times now, and have been taken around, and we've met their team from the TV department, the creative development department, both on the feature and television side. Their franchising group, their licensing and merchandising folks, and these people just have a real solid appreciation for the property, which just makes me so excited to have partners like them. And we're in some really interesting discussions with them now about where to take the franchise from here. it's really been a thrill to work with some real creative heavyweights who are taking the time to dig into the franchise through market research and just, you know, secondary research of the genre and everything surrounding Voltron and GoLion and everything that was going on at the time that it was made, just understanding everything about what Voltron stands for, just the work that they put in just to get to level zero. Like, okay, what is this and what makes Voltron Voltron? It's been a fascinating process. And I've learned more about our own brand just working with them than I ever thought I could know. And they've been terrific to work with. I think with them, working together with them, there's big things on the horizon for sure. And like I mentioned earlier, it's almost impossible for an independent these days to come out with a property to compete on a global scale. And being in partnership with a company like DreamWorks puts us there. It allows us to compete with pretty much anyone else on a level playing field. But you know, it's essential these days to have a partner like DreamWorks that you know, has the muscle of a major studio behind them, and the way that they've grown beyond just being a movie studio into television content is really fascinating. And it's just mind-boggling how quickly this company is growing other areas of the business. You might have heard the deal that was announced with Netflix, with DreamWorks, producing something like 300 hours of content of an output deal direct to Netflix. Just staggering, the numbers. Going from basically no television to producing 300 hours of television over something like 3 or 4 years is just, it's just incredible. So they're ramping up in a big way, and they are huge Voltron fans. We're in some exciting discussions, so it's really going to be fun to work with them. So
there's no hint of any development that you can talk about?
We're early in the process, Mark. I mean, I wish I could give you sort of a release date or tell you, how stories are starting to unfold, but we are so early in that process right now. And like I mentioned, it's been all about going back and identifying our brand pillars, as we call them, what makes Voltron Voltron, to make sure that when we start out on this development process, we're incorporating all of those things that make Voltron special.
That's good to hear.
Well, you know, we've got a huge legacy to protect, and I know a lot of fans feel very passionate about it, and they want to see, you know, something that they remember as a kid, but that's even better, you know, modernized version of something that was released in the 80s that was truly great. So, you know, how can we take all of the things that made Voltron great and improve upon them? So. It's a tall order, but we're investing a lot of time and a lot of resources and, you know, frankly, a lot of money into getting it right. So I think whatever comes out next is going to be something that fans will really enjoy. So,
okay. From Australia, Covey Berry would like to know, will it be possible to ask for Voltron Force coloring pages to keep kids busy during upcoming spring school break in Australia?
Like a coloring book?
Yeah, the coloring pages from the Voltron Force show.
I'd love to see that. I don't know of any coloring book licensee that we have. It would fall under the publishing category. You know, DreamWorks, who's handling our licensing and merchandising, have recently started up a new publishing division, so it might fall under that. So yeah, we'd love to get coloring books out there. But noted. Thank you for the comments.
At the least, I think there might be a possibility, and I think Jeremy had mentioned this earlier, that you could get the character designs or you know, something like that, and then maybe just post them as a digital thing that people could print out themselves.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, in today's world, that's all you need, right? Is you get sort of outlines of PDF documents or whatever, and you know, you could print them out and color them. That's a good idea.
Okay. As a follow-up question, how do you see the future of the Voltron characters? Would you maintain the original characters of the 80s Voltron, or would there be a new set of pilots in Voltron's future? And this can be your opinion or whatever. It doesn't have to be something you know.
I really do appreciate and love the characters that we have, and I'd love to maintain them. And you saw what we tried to do with Voltron Force. We didn't want to sort of redo the origin story or the mythology, but we did feel like the team could use a little bit more diversity. And we added Vince, who was an African-American kid, who, you know, I thought was a really, added an interesting dynamic to the group. I would want to keep, you know, Keith, Lance, Hunk, Pidge, and Princess Allura, and even Sven as part of the group. I'd hate to see any of them go, because those are the characters that I grew up with and I have a lot of affinity for. So, you know, anybody new that we introduced, we would want to, keep them intact as part of the Voltron legend. And yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for those characters. So, you know, I wouldn't want to do anything to exclude them from the mix. So, but yeah, it's a tough question. You know, as you add new characters, and this was a challenge that we had with Voltron Force, it's you have to service them all. You know, you have to keep them relevant and part of the story. And the more characters you introduce, the more difficult it is to service all of them and follow all of their individual stories. So you really have to be able to focus on a core group. As much as I'd like to, you know, expand and have new and different backgrounds and races and ethnicities, you can only focus on so many characters before it starts to get out of hand. And so it's, you know, it's kind of a delicate balance. So,
okay. I want to move on to a voicemail. We're still keeping with Australia. This is Chris from Australia. And immediately following that is a question from Troy from Ohio, who is asking the same question as Chris.
Hi, this is Chris from Australia. And we'd like to ask if there will ever be Voltron Force action figures. Because they were asking for a Lamina action figure from Santa.
Hi, this is Troy Brown. I was just wondering, as a big fan of Voltron since the 80s, I have all the collections of toys. I was wondering when the new Voltron Force toys will be coming out to the market. Thank you.
I'm going to give you the honest answer, and it crushes me inside, but the answer is you know, probably not. I mean, I wish there was a way to do it. The problem is when you tool up for toys like that, you have to invest so much money in the tooling that you have to be able to sell a critical mass of toys in order to recoup your investment in the tooling. And, you know, with the numbers that you'd have to achieve at this point, I don't know of any toy company that wants to tool up for Voltron Force toys as much as I love it. There's plenty of companies want to make reinvent the classic Voltron, just because there's so many 30 somethings out there that are collectors that love displaying the toys and having the definitive Voltron collection. But you know, Voltron Force toys is something that's always been on Jeremy and my wish list. And God, we would love to see that more than anybody. I actually have molds that were created on a 3D printer sitting in my office that, you know, just kind of show what they could be. But, you know, never say never. Down the line, if there's a way to get that done, we would certainly love to. And God, I would love to see those characters in three-dimensional form sitting on my desk. Believe me, that's on my wish list. But you know, probably at this point, there's nothing sort of on the horizon that I can kind of share where those will actually be on toy shelves.
Regarding the toys, Bob, there's been this sort of fan push for a long time in the chatter, and I know that Toynami has they've taken the reins again, and they're coming out with an awesome 30th anniversary diecast Voltron, which has the light up eyes and the display base and all that kind of stuff. Has there ever been any discussion with Bandai? Because it seems like the fans really want Bandai to take a crack at this at the Voltron robots. Do you know if there's been any talks on that front in the past?
Yes, there have. Bandai has shown interest. I'm sure down the line we will work with them on something. You can only have, you know, one sort of classic Voltron licensee for that particular toy at a time. We're working with Toynami right now because Toynami has just been a phenomenal partner, and they make such high quality stuff that you know, we were just so excited about working with George Sohn and Toynami again for the 30th anniversary toy. George is a guy, and he was on your podcast, and I listened to him on here, and he's just always so interesting to listen to because he's got such a deep knowledge of this genre and of the toy business. He's so full of information, and he's so full of passion, particularly about Voltron. I mean, just to hear him talk about the brand and how much he appreciates it. When we sign up George as a licensee, the love and energy that he puts into it, we know is going to be unparalleled. I mean, so Toynami's just been so fantastic to work with. That said, you know, I know some of the guys from Bandai, and they're terrific as well. And they also have an appreciation for Voltron, and I know they can do a wonderful job. And, you know, we probably will do something with them down the line. It was incredibly difficult to pick a licensee for the 30th, but just based on what George has done for us in the past, he's a solid partner, and he's come through big time on this 30th anniversary toy. But Bandai's a wonderful company as well, and they do robots darn well, no question about it. So
this leads me to my next question perfectly, which is one of the things that's really encouraging about having Toynami doing the Voltron licensing is that, or for the toys, fans have always known that George is a fan of vehicle Voltron. So is there anything, because he made the awesome vinyls the last time and the jumbo Die Rugger Shogun Warriors. Can you give us any insight into maybe some of his thoughts or ideas about getting vehicle Voltron products to the fan collectors?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it off and on. Again, I go back to tooling and how much it costs to tool up for a toy like that. I mean, you're talking six figures easy, and especially for vehicle Voltron, you've got 15 different pieces for that toy that all need to fit together, that need to be tooled up separately. It's a hell of an engineering challenge. You just have to know that you're going to be able to sell a critical mass. And I was actually surprised by the number of vehicle Voltron comments. Well, I was surprised and I wasn't surprised, because I always get a lot of the hardcore Voltron fans love vehicle Voltron, and I really appreciate that. And we would love to do something around vehicle Voltron in the future. But, you know, again, it's like it's the core mass of the Voltron fans, I guess the mainstream fans, if you will, are mostly on the Lion Voltron side. There's just more of a demand for the Lion Voltron product. So, you know, the question is whether you come out with a vehicle Voltron toy, whether you can sell a critical mass. I think you could, just based on anecdotally on what I've heard, and it's also popular in a few different foreign territories. I think you could certainly knock it out of the park with a great vehicle Voltron toy. And I saw it just, again, anecdotally, the demand for the Miracle Toys product was through the roof. You know, some people kind of got testy with us when we didn't officially license that product to come into the United States. It wasn't officially licensed. A toy like that, to be honest, kind of hurts the market when you have sort of a bootleg product going around and being sold. And I talked to George Sohn about what to do with this, because, you know, if we want to work with fans and we want to work with companies, and we're not out to like harm anybody legally, or, you know, file injunctions or slap people on the wrist. But, you know, when we saw this vehicle Voltron toy, the way we looked at it was, look, if this is a quality product, we'll talk to these guys and figure out a way to get it here legally and give it to fans. But, you know, we looked at it with George and looked at it ourselves, and it wasn't what we felt the quality level of a vehicle Voltron toy ought to have been. So we didn't officially license the toy for that very reason. We think we can do a vehicle Voltron toy that exceeds the Miracle Toy in quality, and I hope to do so down the road. But you know, bootleg stuff like that really does soften the market. It hurts the market, but I still think that the market for a vehicle Voltron toy is strong enough. And you know, thanks to a lot of the comments and the fan demand, I think it is telling us something, and it's certainly there.
So, Bob, John Joseph McHenry and James Devine were two of the biggest voices out there asking for more vehicle Voltron.
More toy or show?
Either one.
Yeah.
Anything vehicle Voltron.
Yeah. The show is, that's a whole other animal. I'd love to do more vehicle Voltron. Yeah, the challenge is, like I was mentioning with Lion Voltron, even Lion Voltron is difficult sometimes when you have to service 5 different lead characters. Vehicle Voltron is 15. It's a challenge. It's a writing challenge for sure. Especially when you're going after such a young audience to make storylines that are straightforward enough and simple enough and to still service 15 different characters. You know, you'd almost have to segment it off and do, you know, one episode on Land Team and another episode on Air Team and Sea Team. But there's a way to do it. I will say this, it's likely we're going to do something again with Lion Force first, before we do something with vehicle. But I know that there's that demand there, that thirst for new vehicle Voltron content, and you know, would love to come out with something for that, maybe on the heels of our next Lion Force effort. But I do appreciate the vehicle fans. I love that show as well, and would love to do something with it. So
I did want to add one thing, Bob, just to validate your claims firsthand. For myself, as someone who I've been gearing up to do a vehicle Voltron feature video, like I did for Lion Force on the web channel, the Retro Blasting web channel, and in doing so, I went out and I purchased an original Japanese Dairugger, and then I decided, well, this feature video won't be complete unless I, you know, give fans some insight on this bootleg. So I picked up one of the bootlegs. It's the first time I've ever purchased a toy that right out of the box, I had to go find a screwdriver and a razor blade in order to get the toy to work properly.
Oh, no.
So to your point about the quality control, it's very valid.
All right. We have another person who wrote in through our letsvoltron.com site. His name is BJ Wanland. And his question for Bob Koppler is when we will see Beast King Goline get more releases, whether it's a budget-minded re-release of the DVD or an iTunes release or even a release somewhere else.
Goline, stay tuned. We're talking about that for 30th anniversary. We want to do something, and God, for you Voltron fans out there, if you haven't checked out Goline, I've been rewatching it lately. I just watched episode 38 today. It's called Goline Hunting. Guys, oh my God. Like, it is the most violent thing I've ever seen. There's literally these like Red Beret Special Forces Doom soldiers. They call them Death Commandos, and these guys wreak havoc on Eris. They go down, or Altia as they call it in Goline. They go down and they literally climb out of the ground and they slit people's throats and they like saw them in half and there's blood and guts everywhere. It's awful. It's like, oh my God.
I think Mike's key word when he described it before was insane.
It is absolutely insane. It's actually been a lot of, it's been interesting going back and watching Go Lion episodes and then going and watching the comparable Voltron episode and seeing how they handled it. I'm like, Jesus, how did they edit this into a kid show? It's some creative editing. And a lot of times there's just so many scenes that you have to cut out that you have to change the entire storyline around. But yeah, God, this one episode, I mean, some of them are more violent than others. I mean, there's some Go Lion episodes that could actually pass as a kid show. And there's others that you see like this episode 38 Go Lion Hunting, where, I mean, you have five guys. I mean, there's a scene where there's this guy like cuddling with his girlfriend down by a river, like really sweet. And these death commandos just come out and cut their heads off. I'm like, what?
Wow.
There's like, it's nuts.
You saw the episode in the sand in the desert world, right? Where they're working the people to death to build a monument to Dibazol, and then they feed their own dead to them.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just like I don't even know, like for an adult show, I think it's like over the line. It's crazy. But, you know, that's like the Voltron's DNA is there. And we obviously cut out all that violent stuff to show this to kids. But I think what maintained in the Voltron legend is that good versus evil. And, you know, you watch Go Lion, you see like, holy crap, these guys really are evil. I mean, these guys are diabolical. You know, we had to soften that quite a bit, but the good versus evil nature of Voltron is in its very DNA. And the series maintains that in Voltron, and it's obviously softened for kids, and it has a very, very sort of mature DNA and a really well thought out mythology. And it's just on like a Greek tragedy level scale, the mythology of the Galra Empire, which we call the Drool Empire and Planet Doom, it's just fascinating. It's just, this planet has subjugated all of these other weaker planets. And then you have Eris, or Altia as it's called, is sort of this one holdout planet that's able to maintain a light of hope in the universe and through this massive indestructible weapon, Go Lion. And that message of hope is, I think, what showed through and maintained throughout the Voltron show. And it's just a fascinating story. I've just really enjoyed going back and watching the original Japanese. But yeah, I am a little scarred from this morning watching Go Lion Hunting. I'm scarred by that. The innocent people that just got massively mutilated was just disturbing.
So you're saying we should put a warning label on these if we have more releases?
Look, go buy it. Show it to your kids. Show Voltron to your kids. But don't, if you start hearing Japanese, turn it off in front of your kids. Don't let them watch the Japanese. That's for adults only. But it's what's really interesting is if you just go back and watch the Go Lion episode and then the US, the Voltron episode, and comparing the storylines and seeing what they did with the violent scenes and see how it's changed. It's really interesting to do.
Well, that's why when we had our discussions about those episodes, we were only talking about the first four, but we had the Go Lion perspective from Mike and then the regular Voltron perspective as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting to compare. And, you know, the team that we had, I say we, I was 5 years old, but the World Events team in LA that was able to take that program and transform it into a children's program. You just, by watching Go Lion, you can see the monumental task that they had in front of them, and how difficult that must have been on the writers and You know, I listened to Mark Handler talk about how they would actually match cut like the mouth flaps and go back and write dialogue to be inserted into when they speak. I mean, just the effort that must have taken was just incredible. And to take a show like Go Lion and say, hey, this could be a kid's show, it's just like, who would ever think of that?
Right.
But in retrospect, it's like, of course, you know, of course kids would love this. But, you know, it was probably insane at the time to think that you could do something like that. But they made it work.
Well, we wanted to follow this up with, because Gregory Tyler wants to ask a question from the business side of Go Lion and Die Rugger. To what extent are the Voltron, Go Lion, and Die Rugger properties owned outright by World Events Productions? And to what extent are the properties under license from Toei, the animation company that originally produced Go Lion and Die Rugger? Hence, under license from Toei, how frequently must the licenses be renewed?
Okay, it's a good question. It was initially licensed in 83 or 84 when we created Voltron. Since then, we had some disagreements with Toei. There was some litigation surrounding it, and to be completely honest, I am not familiar with the details. It was long ago. But what we ended up doing, just because there was confusion and miscommunication, and just to avoid anything like that in the future, what we did is, you know, we came to love this brand Voltron, and we didn't want to have any messy situations in the future. So it was at 2000 was when we actually approached Toei, and we just said, what's it going to take? We're going to buy it outright. We don't want any confusion. What's Go Lion versus Voltron? What's Die Rugger versus Vehicle Voltron? So we bought out both properties, you know, in throughout the universe in perpetuity, just make it clean. So the answer is World Events owns the Japanese property and the American property, you know, makes it simple that way. So
100%, no renewals required.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'd like to play another voicemail question.
Hi, this is Tara Scully. This is questions for Bob Cobbler. I was just wondering, for the 30th anniversary, what other events outside of St. Louis and WizardCon do you guys have planned to celebrate? And look forward to hoping to see you guys at New York Comic Con this year. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Tara, for the question. In addition to Wizard World in St. Louis, we are planning to do something at San Diego Comic Con. Exactly what that is still being worked out, but we definitely want to have a presence out there. God, that convention, by the way, is just, it becomes so enormous. It is a sight to behold. I think they have something like 200,000 people coming to that San Diego Convention Center, and it's just overrun by Wookiees and just the craziest cosplay you've ever seen. It's always an interesting trip being out there in San Diego Comic Con. But we'd love to do something Voltron there. And then New York, we get so much love in New York. I don't know if it's because Voltron had such a good clearance back in the day in New York City, but we tend to be well received in New York, so we'd love to do something up there as well. So between those three, we'll do something at each of them. And other than that, we're always kind of looking at other opportunities, you know, around the country. If you have a specific request for any shows, we'll take a look at it. But, you know, we're a small office, and when we go to do these shows, particularly the ones out of town, it does take a whole lot of planning effort. It tends to consume us for several weeks leading up to the event, which we're happy to do. You know, we also need to focus on running the business and doing a bunch of other things. So it's hard to do all of them because, again, there's not anybody specifically focused on planning conventions. Although my friend Nohan Luke here, Michael French, has been a tremendous help, and he's really helping us put together an incredible show at Wizard World. And And Michael, if you had the time, I would love to send you all over the country and do stuff like we're doing at Wizard World at every convention there is, because I know you're going to be great at it. But I know you also have a day job, and to be honest, have no idea how you find the time to do everything you do. But it is much appreciated.
Well, I've carved out those dates in July, like you asked. So I'm just staying tuned.
Great, awesome. By the way, Mike, you are freaking insane. I was just watching your latest video on retro blasting. What, Wheeljack in the Mist?
Yes.
I don't know how you find the time to do these crazy videos, but they are hilarious. And I just love watching your reviews on retro blasting.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Would you believe that some of our audience, they say that the only thing they don't like about our channel is that we don't put out videos fast enough?
I mean, the thing is, like, you see a video like that, and it looks simple enough, but I just know how much work goes into, like, a 3-minute video. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, and especially when you always want to have something important to say. You know, you don't just want to go out there with random craziness. You know, you want to put your time into something that's meaningful and says something funny or, you know, serves a purpose. And it's hard getting that point across to people.
Hey, Bob, I also wanted to let you know that my wife and I will be attending both San Diego Comic-Con and New York Comic-Con as well.
Oh, that's great news, Mark. So you're going to be out in San Diego as well, huh?
Yep. We were there last year, and, you know, it seems like something we need to do each year.
Awesome. Well, let's stay in touch about that.
You got it.
So, yeah, we should... do an interview or something while you're out there. It's fun catching up with you at the conventions. New York Comic Con has become enormous as well, and it's just like it's so massive, and there's so many people you can hardly move when you get into the Javits Center. But like, and it's hard. If for those of you who've been in New York and not San Diego, you'd think how could anything on Earth be larger than New York Comic Con? And then San Diego is just like that, like times 3 or 4. It's just incredible. When we look at San Diego and what we're going to do for Voltron, that's the challenge. Is just, there's so much stuff out there, and there's just so many studios pushing movies, and we'll find a little niche for Voltron to do something fun out there.
All right. So for our next fan question, Alex Ray Walker asks, why doesn't someone create a Voltron set for Legos?
I love that question. I saw that on Facebook. Good question. I'd love to see a Voltron Lego collection. Stay tuned. We'll definitely do that at some point. That's a great point.
That sounds like a definitive answer.
Well, and we don't have a deal worked out with them at this point, but I don't see why we wouldn't. Like, I just... Why not? You know, Hasbro also has their what is their Lego called, Kinects or something?
Well, I'm not exactly sure which one's owned by Hasbro.
Hasbro has a competitive line of construction toys to Lego, and we probably won't be under that umbrella considering our competition. Although who knows? I don't know. It could be either one, but. But Lego Voltron, I totally agree, would be incredible, and I would love to see that as well. So, but I appreciate that comment, and we'll look at that. So,
did you see the one that the massive custom Lego Voltron that guy made a few years ago? It was like to scale with the minifigures, and it actually combined.
Oh yeah, I do. I'm gonna Google image search that right now because now I do remember seeing that. That was incredible. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, that thing was insane. As to use to borrow one of your words, Mike.
All right, Dravko Genov asks. He says Voltron has clearly been the franchise that Web has focused on, but there were ever plans to expand on Saber Rider? And while they did get a few original episodes, did Web ever consider ordering animation for an entire new season or maybe a crossover between Saber Rider and Voltron?
So Saber Rider, It's a Saber Rider Voltron crossover. We haven't really looked into that, although that would be an interesting interesting possibility. If we do new Saber Rider content, it would be cool to put Voltron in there for sure, or you know, maybe a little cameo would be more like it. But yeah, that's an interesting idea. I mean, those franchises could be cross-pollinated, I would think, without too much imagination. You know, with Saber Rider, you've got like this futuristic outpost, you know, based on this planet Yuma, and sort of the old West, and you could actually see, you know, it's not a leap of the imagination to see five robot lions landing on that planet and working with Saber and April and Colt and Fireball and reigning in the Outriders. I mean, they could. I'm sure the Saber Rider team could use some robot lions to come to their aid. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can make that happen someday. First, we have to get a Saber Rider series going. So, first things first. But yeah, crossover. That would be cool. Maybe a direct to video feature, OVA.
Yeah, they'd probably appreciate that.
That'd be cool.
All right, Jaime Carrion says, why don't you bring back the 2012 Voltron Classic figures? People are charging an arm and a leg for those on eBay.
Which figures is that now?
He's referring to the Mattel, the Matty Collector ones.
Oh, the 24-inch tall combining Voltron?
Right, with the matching.
Oh, with the figures that go on the Lions, yeah.
Right.
It's been a while since we've done the pilots themselves, and I guess since Mattel included those pilots as part of, so the only way to get those pilots, it's not like they were sold separately, you'd have to buy one of the lions, but that was a cool feature that you would actually get the pilot that came with the lion. They did such a great job of that toy in that, you know, we saw, was it Poppy Mike that did the one back in the 80s where you put the pilots in the lions?
Oh, that was Panache Place. Yeah.
Panache Place. Yeah. That's right. So this was the first Voltron, like Mac Daddy Voltron toy where you could put the pilots in the lions and they'd have their cockpit since that Panache Place toy that came out back in the 80s. But Mattel did them like in this incredible way that was like cartoon accurate and everything. Like, when you assembled this Voltron, it stood like enormous, like 24 inches tall, and you'd put the pilots in the lions, but like that Panos Place toy, like the lions didn't look anything like they did in the series. They almost looked like a knockoff, or like they had this sort of like transparent little canopy over their cockpits, but with the Mattel toy, you could actually put them inside the lion to where you didn't even see the pilots when they were inside, and it was very cartoon accurate. Actually, a lot of fans pointed out all these differences between the Mattel toy and the original Matchbox toy and how it was inaccurate because this or that or the other. But Mattel's response, which is really what they set out to do, was we wanted to make a cartoon accurate toy, not a toy accurate toy, and they really hit the mark. That toy was just spectacular, and just the size of it was just something to behold. And like Black Lion alone, like if you held Black Lion, it felt like you were holding a baby. It was just a magnificent looking toy, but. Yeah, the pilots themselves, I guess right now you're right. The only option is to get, if you want to get one without a lion, is to go on eBay. Or since they're sold out of that toy, I guess to get one of those lions, you'd have to go on eBay. I don't think Mattel has any plans to re-release those. Would be cool if they did. And yeah, I don't think George with Toynami is planning to release individual pilots.
I think if you could work it out between DreamWorks and Toynami and everything to put out some action figures, it would drive people nuts just to be able to have that in stores.
It would be very cool. I agree. Yeah, because those action figures are quite fun, and being able to put them in the lion is just kind of like one of those wish list fan things. But yeah, getting the figures, I don't know. I will pass that along and see if George has any interest in doing the pilots. So You know, that's what's fun about Voltron. You collect all five lines, but you also got to collect the characters themselves. There's a lot of different play patterns and different scale kind of toys. So
certainly wouldn't be Voltron without our pilots.
No, it wouldn't. And that's the other thing about the pilots that Mattel did is you actually pop off their head to go from helmet mode to just civilian non-helmet mode. And it's complete with like Keith's mullet and stuff. I mean, the accuracy of those pilots is something that they did such an amazing job with Voltron that you don't think about how awesome the pilots were, because they really did like this amazingly cartoon accurate version of the pilots themselves, which was really cool. So,
and there were so many times during the shows when they weren't being their pilot selves in their uniforms, they were being their plainclothes selves, and they had to do many different adventures just in their plainclothes.
Right. And, I want to see someday a toy company do Pidge with his little frilly, like weird ass Western cowboy kind of outfit, his green, like, you know, get their civilian clothes, Keith in his red jumpsuit, Princess in her little pink, like sweatsuit or whatever that is. That would be cool to see their civilian clothes. You know, just for hanging out at the castle.
All right. Well, I'm done the questions for right now from the fans. And Mike, is there anything else that you wanted to ask Bob? Because we're getting close to the end here.
No, I just really want to thank Bob for taking the time to do this podcast. I mean, we're all busy people, and Bob is certainly counted amongst those, and especially being the VP of WEP, and just taking the time to engage the fans, entertain their questions, talk with us for the length that this podcast runs. Really, really appreciate it, especially on such short notice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, guys, honestly. The work that you guys do, and like I mentioned when we started, keeping this brand going and keeping the love alive and interfacing with the fans. You guys have been great ambassadors for Voltron, and I can't thank you enough for your support. It's really a privilege taking part in this podcast. You guys have done such a great job with it, and I've enjoyed talking with you, so thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you very much. We look forward to having other members of WEP as well, like Tiffany or even Ted, if we can manage it.
We will we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. I think Tiffany's planning on it, and I'll see if I can get some connections with Ted to get him on. So
that would be an awesome treat for the fans.
Sure, sure. Well, thank you guys so much, and thanks to all the fans listening for your passion for the property and everything that you do. You guys are the ones that have kept it alive, and it's truly an honor to be working on this property, and it's so motivating having such passionate fans like there are for Voltron. It's every day, motivates us here at WEP, and we are incredibly lucky.
Would you mind sending us out with a Let's Voltron?
Let's Voltron!